Bell, Colin McHugh, Babip, Babip, swinging strikes, great X Fips, spin rake, sales, great Sam Dyson in a vacuum.
Who's on the waiver wire? If someone can help me, the guys will tell me. Or should I take a flyer on a minor leaguer or pick up a streamer?
Yo, welcome to Thursday show. Today we got, of course, more of your sleepers and breakouts. A lot of spring training talk as Michael Pineda had a huge outing. Drew Smyly in USA had a big game yesterday. We'll look at the Red Sox lineup. We'll look at bad Martin, bad Harvey, bad Jordan Zimmermann, and good Heath Cummings and good Chris Towers. Welcome, fellas. Good morning.
Well, relatively speaking.
You guys are good.
Yeah, we're good at lots of things,
yeah.
Chris.
I agree. Sure. Email us, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. We'll be reading some of those. And just kind of in another effort to talk about players that we haven't spoken enough about, I want to look at the starting pitchers and the outfielders that are going to be the middle round picks of your team. You know, guys that could kind of swing your team. Number three outfielders, number four starting pitchers, or for Chris, maybe number one starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, we'll get into that. Let's start with sleepers and breakouts. Christiane in Montreal says, Dear Fantasy Stooges, I will let you decide who's who. Not really my wheelhouse there. Can you maybe talk about some breakout third basemen who seem to be going in and around the same area in the draft? One we talked about yesterday, but Moustakas, Castellanos, Jake Lamb, Ryan Healy. Which is your favorite? Personally, I think this is a breakout season for Mike Moustakas. Who's your favorite?
That's not what the email said.
Personally, I think this is a breakout season for Moose.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I had to read the nickname?
I think it's pretty obvious she's from Canada. They love moose up there.
Okay.
Did you see that video of the moose the other day?
Yeah.
Moose are crazy.
I like moose a lot, too. I am concerned...
I like squirrel better.
...that he is more of a doesn't ever regain that form from 2015 candidate. But Healy... It would be my second favorite from this group. We talked about him a lot yesterday.
Wait,
Jake Lamb.
Wait,
whoa,
you like Healy more than Jake Lamb?
No.
I said Healy would be my second favorite from this group. Oh. I think I started to speak and you maybe just thought you knew what I was going to say, okay. So you stopped listening to me.
Well, you said it in a very illogical way. Like, you started talking about Moustakas and it seemed like he was your favorite of the group followed
Lamb
by
Lamb is
Healy.
My favorite of the group.
Okay. But Lamb's also going, I think, a lot earlier than the rest. Maybe four or five rounds earlier.
Yeah, he's going about 60 spots ahead of Healy, who is going about 10 spots ahead of Castellanos and Moustakas. So you definitely have to pay a lot more for Jake Lamb, 157 overall right now.
I put Moustakas and Castellanos more in that steady late corner infield group, whereas I put Lamb and Healy in these guys could emerge into top 12 third baseman option if everything goes right.
It does speak to the depth of the position. I mean, Moustakas and Castellanos are not exactly bad options to have.
No.
Yeah. All right, great. So thank you, Christiane, and thank you for your Moose question. This is from... It's from Mitchell. Hey, Frankie, Bob, Tommy, and Nick. What is it?
What is it, Chris?
I was trying to find it.
Tell us
what that's from.
Sherry, baby. It's the Four Seasons, guys.
What?
What are you doing?
I'm singing Frankie Valli.
Frankie Valli?
And the Four Seasons. That's them, Sherry, baby.
Yes.
Okay.
They had many hits. That's not the one I would go to first.
Walk like a man. A potential sleeper you guys haven't really talked about is Michael Wacha of the St. Louis Cardinals. He was lights out in 2015 with the injury to Alex Reyes. Wacha is guaranteed a spot in the rotation. I don't know. I mean, I think he is, but it's also because like Trevor Rosenthal has been banged up. You can get him in the last round, and Wacha has SB2 or what's going on over there?
I said Trevor Rosenthal was never going to take Michael Wacha's spot.
Okay. I don't think he was guaranteed a spot in the rotation, but he's going to be in the rotation now. Yeah, it doesn't matter. What do you think about Michael Wacha?
I would say that Michael Wacha's peripherals from 2015 to 2016 make him look like almost the exact same pitcher The difference was that he had an exceptionally low strand rate and an exceptionally high BABIP last year, but he struck out almost exactly the same number of batters, walked almost the exact same number, had a FIP that was within 0.04 of the point being the same. So yes, if he stays healthy and gets back to that level, I don't think he was lights out in 2015 by any means. His upside is a low to mid 3 ERA with not a lot of strikeouts, but hopefully wins a lot of games because he pitches for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't know, Chris, if you want to weigh in there, but what I was going to say about Waka.
There's nothing to add.
Okay. Well, no, there's something important to add. First of all, he's gotten worse every year. Now, his ERA has gone from 2.78 to 3.20 to 3.38 to 5.09. His whip has gotten worse every year. His strikeout rate has gotten worse every year. Or I don't know what it was last year, but it keeps getting worse, and it's about 7.5 per 9. So, yeah, you're hoping for wins. But also, he's got this recurring shoulder injury that I think Waka, yeah, like, you might pick him up early in the season. He might give you, I don't think he's going to be a rotation stalwart for you, but it's actually a good point. Like, he is a guy that, like Heath said, could have a 3.20, 3.30 ERA. He's done it several times. So maybe he's being overlooked a little bit.
I think now that Sonny Gray is injured, I think Michael Waka is a perfectly fine Sonny Gray replacement.
Okay. And Adam from California says, "Dear Michael, Willis, and Ray," I looked that up before the show and still have no idea who that is. "My breakout is Devin Travis. If Devin Travis can start the season healthy and stay healthy, he will be a top 5 second baseman, 295 batting average, 100 runs, 20 homers, and 70 RBIs for Devin Travis."
I don't buy the 20 homers. I don't buy him being healthy to start the season, but I agree with everything else Adam said.
I mean, yeah, he's been he's played 163 games. He's at 19 homers. I'm surprised he hasn't run more, and that's one place where I think we could see an uptick if he stays healthy.
All right, Devin Travis, pretty good middle infield option, or, you know, even if you're like the last person to draft a second baseman in a you know, 12-team league with one second baseman, probably not a 10-team league. Travis is a good option for you, but definitely could start the year on the DL. All right, let's look at spring training. We haven't really done this, but let's look at yesterday's box scores, and I just mostly want to focus on the pitchers, the good and the bad. Only two pitchers that I circled as bad, and that'd be Matt Harvey and Jordan Zimmermann. But Michael Pineda, Heath, you are the Pineda guy, 5 scoreless, no hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts against the Phillies. I DVR'd the game just so I could watch it and see if he was throwing his changeup, and he threw it a little bit. He is starting to incorporate a little bit, but his slider was ridiculous yesterday. It's been a good spring for Pineda. Does it mean anything to you?
No. I would like for it to. Like, I've written a lot of nice things about Michael Pineda this spring, and I've got higher expectations for him, or hopes, not expectations, for him than a lot of people do. But if there's anything we've seen from Michael Pineda over the last 4 years, it's that when he is on his game, he's virtually unhittable. And it's the Phillies.
Yeah.
He's been practically unhittable in spring training over the last 4 seasons as well. So, I'm not entirely clear how much that matters. He's the right-handed Robbie Ray.
Yeah.
You know, like, they actually had almost the same exact season last year. I saw somebody compare the two of them, and it's kind of nuts how similar their numbers were across the board. So, you know, if you want to buy into a late-round starting pitcher with some upside who's just a high-variance dart, I think Pineda is right there with Robbie Ray.
And I think the changeup is what's really interesting to me, because as I've said many times, I just think he needs a third pitch, and that could be the key for Pineda to be more consistent.
It's really hard to just be a two-pitch pitcher.
I don't want to overreact to the World Baseball Classic, but
Eric Hosmer was pretty awesome.
That was great.
That was really fun. My wife was not happy.
Oh, she's Venezuelan?
She's Venezuelan, yeah.
Wow. That was an awesome game, and I'm enjoying
the games have been super fun.
Yeah, they have.
The Puerto Rico DR game was super fun too.
I don't know if I have it in me to watch Dominican Republic, yeah, Venezuela tonight.
10 o'clock game. 10 o'clock start it's rough.
Yeah.
We got 6 months of that coming up. I don't know if I can do it again.
But Drew Smyly. You know, one thing Smyly said during the interview during the game was that he felt really good because he hadn't pitched in like 9 days. So He felt fresh, and he threw 4 2/3, gave up 3 hits, no extra base hits that I can recall. He made an error that led to an unearned run, no walks, 8 strikeouts. And Venezuela, I mean, that's not the Phillies. Venezuela is Altuve, Miguel Cabrera.
He struck out Altuve at one point. Cabrera, Victor Martinez, and Odor went 0-for-6 with 5 strikeouts against him.
Wow.
He struck out the side in an inning that featured Cabrera, Martinez, and Odor. And he looked really good.
And we've seen like great spurts from Drew Smyly. In 2014 with Tampa Bay, he had a 1.70 ERA. In 2015, he had a 3.11 ERA and 77 strikeouts and 66 2/3. Didn't go very deep into games. But obviously last year was terrible for Smyly. Now he's with the Mariners. Great outfield defense. We know that. I'm not going to lie. I got more excited about drafting Drew Smyly based on last night. Am I being crazy?
I've liked Drew Smyly throughout the offseason, and I didn't like him at all last year. And I didn't like him last year because he was going in like the 9th or 10th round probably last year. He was someone that everybody liked as a breakout candidate, and now everybody doesn't seem to like him at all. He still has the upside. I love the outfield defense in Seattle. And I think it's just a situation where it can pay to be contrarian with Drew Smyly right now.
So would you take Smyly over Pineda?
No. Right in that range.
I would, but you wouldn't, Heath?
I would not.
But both those guys would be over Michael Wacha?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Another good from yesterday. Well, actually, let's just kind of take a look at the Boston lineup. It's been a little.
Oh, wait, can I point out one more thing?
Oh yeah, please.
From that game, Felix Hernandez last year in March, averaged right around, I think, 90.9 miles per hour with his 90.9 miles per hour with his fastball. He was right around 92, 93 for most of the start yesterday. Looked really good. And I think he's averaged so far about a mile per hour more on his fastball than he did last March. That to me is a very good sign.
Yeah, he did look pretty good, but he didn't get a lot of strikeouts, did he?
I think he had 3 4 2/3 or whatever he worked. So
it's not bad against America.
I mean, it's a very good lineup. He worked out of a couple jams. He was in a bases loaded situation and got the ground ball he needed. I thought he looked very promising, and I think the velocity especially is a good sign.
All right. The Boston lineup had Pedroia 1, Benintendi 2, Jackie Bradley 3, Mookie Betts 4, Pablo Sandoval 5. So Pedroia, Benintendi, Bradley, Betts, Sandoval. Hanley Ramirez did not play. Boston
and
lineup on Tuesday
either.
Had Pedroia 1, Sandoval 2, Betts 3, Ramirez 4, Moreland 5, Chris Young 6, Jackie Bradley 7. I don't know what any of it means. I like that Benintendi was batting second yesterday.
It's hard to say what it means at all.
Right.
Just because Bogarts isn't there either, and they were missing a starter in each of the other games.
Right. But, yeah. And I just thought it was interesting that Jackie Bradley batted third in one game and seventh in the other. But, you know, they're going to have a loaded lineup one way or the other. Jerod Dyson stole 2 bases. That gave him 5 for the spring. Any thoughts?
It's the one thing he does exceptionally well.
Yes. He's going to be... Will Jerod Dyson lead the American League in steals?
How many plate appearances does he get?
I don't know. It's all
play every day to start.
It's part of the equation here.
I'll say yes.
Just because he might lose his job, I'll say no.
Okay.
Who will?
That's a good question.
Because it's easy to take the field. You gotta pick somebody to beat him.
I'm taking the field.
Okay, the field it is. Tyron
Buxton.
Taiwan Walker, you know, I'll put this as a good start. Look, he gave up 3 runs and 2 homers against the Cubs, but it was basically the Cubs, you know, primary lineup. I don't know. He gave up 7 hits. When you combine it with his last outing, Taiwan Walker has struck out 16 batters in 8 innings in his last 2 outings with only 1 walk. That's pretty cool. Is Taiwan Walker moving up for you guys at all or what?
I probably had him too high before the spring, so he's just justifying where I had him ranked. But this was just the curse of Heath at work, because I wrote a piece yesterday about 6 spring training stats that matter, and basically everyone that I wrote good about had a bad day yesterday. And then I wrote bad about Yoan Moncada, and he hit 2 home runs. So,
but he made an error, so you can feel good about that.
I would, the one thing I would like to see is whether he used his new-ish slider. He has been using it a lot, and the fact that he got 8 strikeouts is very promising for him.
I will say that I believe Brooks Baseball has already been updated.
I was just looking at his page. I don't think it is.
Well, it was 29% when I wrote mm-hmm. about Taiwan Walker, and it's showing up as 31% usage now.
How many has he thrown?
I didn't look at the raw numbers.
Well, you got to do that. Anyway, Taiwan Walker may be using his slider. So Taiwan Walker, Pineda, Smiley, who's your favorite?
Walker.
Walker easily.
All right.
But those are all guys that I will have a very high exposure to.
Walker's going to be his ace. Pineda's going to be his number two, and Smiley will be his number
two. No, McCullers will be my ace.
All right, and then the last four pitchers, do they matter? Boston starting pitcher Kyle Kendrick having an amazing spring.
No.
Nope.
No. Colorado starting pitcher Kyle Freeland, who was the number 8 overall pick in the 2014 draft, having a good spring.
Nope.
You have to be an ace just to be relevant in Chicago and Colorado, really.
Minnesota starting pitcher Adalberto Mejia, 3 2/3, 4 hits, no runs, no walks, 8 strikeouts against St. Louis. Adalberto, I hope he's not relevant. I'm going to stumble on that one all year. Mejia competing with Tyler Duffy and Jose Barrios for a rotation spot. Does Adalberto Mejia matter?
I have trouble seeing that he would. He's had a decent strikeout rate in AAA, but he's that kind of came out of nowhere relative to his minor league track record. So I will say no for now.
Okay, Mejia, you know, you could put him on your radar. He's a bit of a prospect. He came over from San Francisco in the Eduardo Nunez trade, and they liked what they saw yesterday. And finally, I'm going to Tyler Skaggs, the Angels starting pitcher, Tyler Skaggs, with 2 scoreless. The look on Heath's face right now.
Well, Heath doesn't know what you're referencing either.
You don't know that song?
I think the next line is, got $20 in my pocket.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, so hip. Wow. Tyler Skaggs, is anybody going to Tyler Skaggs this year?
He's someone that I can pay attention to when the season starts, but I'm not going to be interested right now.
Okie dokie. Matt Harvey, 3 1/3, 4 runs, 2 earned, 5 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, and kind of talking about how, like, look, my velocity's not there. It's not a very good start.
It's not just
right now.
My velocity's not there. He said, I'm not going to try to throw as hard as I used to. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to throw as hard as I used to. And I think his pitching coach came out and said that he thought by the end of May he should be back to where he was.
Yeah, he could always gain velocity.
Right. I just, like, that's 2 months of the season.
Oh, end of May. Ooh, wow. Yeah, that is long.
I'm leaving him on my bust list.
I'm currently dragging him down my rankings as we speak, although I'm not sure how far I can take him down. I just moved him down to the Dallas Keuchel, Tanner Roark range. I don't think there's much.
I've got Harvey, Roark, and Keuchel all within 4 spots of each other, so.
Which is not a great sign for Matt Harvey.
And where is Felix Hernandez?
Ahead of all those guys.
I think he's in the same range, but he's also someone that I'm probably going to move up.
And I will take, of all those guys, like, for me, Keuchel is a no-brainer over the others. But I totally get why you wouldn't feel that way. And Jordan Zimmermann, just 2 dreadful outings in a row. 4 runs and 2/3 yesterday, 5 runs in an inning and a third in his previous outing. He has 2 strikeouts and 6 innings in spring training. Does this matter at all? Like, Jordan Zimmermann at best is just a late round pick anyway, but is he now, like, off your draft board, or is this just whatever?
I'm not going to draft Jordan Zimmermann. He doesn't fit in with my plan anyway.
I could see taking him in the late rounds just on a whim. I hope this is not the case. I'm not predicting this is the case, but after 2 outings like this, it sure feels like we're going to get an alert today. It says Jordan Zimmermann's having some sort of test done on his arm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what happened with Carrasco, right? 1 terrible outing, and they were like, all right, let's get you in the MRI tube. So, exciting news. The bracket challenge is just about full. By the time you're listening to this, the tournament will likely have started. let's go ahead and take a look at how many people were in there. You guys have a guess? Last year we had about 750 contestants. How many do you think are signing up this year?
15,000.
15,000? No. Not going to be
937.
Heath, real guess?
14,000.
14,000. All right, well, if you had said 1,400, you would have been close. We have 1,451 accepted invites as of right now. And one nice. Pending invite, Chris Towers.
Still... I already know. I submitted mine.
You did? Okay. This is not updated.
I believe I submitted mine.
Yeah, he keeps getting an error. It won't let him submit because it said FIU is not an option.
That's what you think.
All right, who's in your final four? I will reveal mine. It is Villanova, Arizona, Kansas, and North Carolina. And I got North Carolina over Villanova to win the championship.
I am trying to find my entry now because I have like 19 different brackets. I know that I have Kansas winning the championship.
Oh, well, shocker.
I believe I have Kansas. Here we go.
I found yours if you need help.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
Do I have my final four? You can't see my you can see my final four?
No, I can't. Not yet. You're right.
You're just, I should have let him read it.
Oh, no, I can see it. I can see everyone's. I can cheat. Kansas, wow. Oregon, Villanova, and Baylor. And you have Kansas, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing.
I was going to say, that's nowhere close.
Kansas,
I don't...
Kentucky, Villanova, and Gonzaga. And you have Kansas over Gonzaga.
Perfect.
And now let's see if Chris Towers did, in fact, submit.
I have, it says so right here.
Oh, there he is, Chris Towers. Okay.
I did, CBS Sports has this fantastic thing called autofill. and so that is how I filled in my bracket. Because I don't think about college basketball until about April, once the season stops.
You have Gonzaga over North Carolina. You have Villanova, Gonzaga, North Carolina.
I love the Gonzaga puppies.
Yeah, they are the puppies. Uh-huh. They're the Bulldogs.
The Gonzaga, very good dogs. over North Carolina, the Carolinas.
Yeah, they are the Carolinians,
yes.
They like to be called. All right, well, we all have Kansas in the Final Four, Heath, so, you know. And we're setting
I
up.
I might have to change it.
We're setting That's up for the Miami-Kansas Round 2 showdown if Miami can beat Michigan State.
Yeah, I am far more concerned with Michigan State and Tom Izzo in March Madness than
sleeping
I am Miami.
Sleeping on Miami.
Yeah. You know who Miami's coach is, right? Or do you not?
Frank Haith?
Jim Larrañaga. He's pretty good. In fact, when George Mason went to the Sweet 16, first round, he beat Tom Izzo.
By the way, here's a here's an Onion headline that is applicable right now.
Okay.
Coworker running NCAA tournament pool really relishing his 1 week of significance. There you go, Adam.
Yeah, that is totally what I'm feeling. I run the family one, like with my cousins, and I feel very significant. Like, it's the only time they really talk to me. So, good stuff. Let's look at the news and notes, and then we'll get into those outfielders and starting pitchers. I wanted to talk about position battles as well. Salvador Perez should be ready for the start of the season. He has both a knee and an elbow injury, but he should be ready for the start of the season. Have you guys moved Salvador Perez down at all in your catcher rankings?
Yes.
If anything, this should move him up. He's getting some time off.
That's true. I dropped him
very rare.
Behind who, Heath?
Behind Contreras and Gattis. I think I already had him there in Roto. I just did it in points. And maybe Grandal.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, yeah, you did drop him behind Grandal. Michael Brantley could play in a spring training game next week. When he does, Heath might get excited.
I'm going to move him up in my rankings today because he actually played in a minor league game yesterday.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about Brantley and when you would take Michael Brantley, and I'll just see where he's going in a second. But while I do that, why don't you tell me where you guys would consider taking Michael Brantley?
I don't know if I can yet. Certainly not in the first half of a draft, I would say, at this point. Just because we did this last year.
I'm going to move him up into the Marcell Ozuna, Jason Hayward range of outfielders. When he plays in a major league game, he will go past those guys. But that is the 14 round range for Michael Brantley.
In a 12-team league. And
in
he
a 12-team league.
Currently the 48th outfielder off the board, going 179th overall.
I will rank him 156th in points.
Okay. Matt Carpenter says he's 100%, so that's good. He's going to be playing pretty soon. Yasmani Tomas has an oblique strain. That's bad. And Martin Prado hurt his hamstring last night in the World Baseball Classic. But Tomas with the oblique strain, this guy who obviously has 30 homer power. You know, what's your reaction to Yasmani Tomas oblique?
He's going so late. It was already like a speculative pick anyway, so it doesn't bother me as much yet.
Okay.
He's actually 163rd right now, which is kind of surprising.
So, yeah, that's Tomas.
I thought it was a little lower.
He's going ahead of Michael Brantley, Yasmani Tomas. How do you feel about that?
Not nearly as good now that Tomas is hurt with an injury that tends to linger for a long time.
Yeah, it can.
I mean, we saw what it did to Matt Carpenter. He was a top five hitter before his oblique injury last year.
It was, but he did not have an oblique injury this spring, Matt Carpenter. He had a back injury. He was concerned it would become an oblique. What'd you say?
I was talking about last season.
Yeah. And I'm just saying he was so concerned about it becoming an oblique injury that he shut himself down, basically. So yeah, obliques suck, as we say a lot. All right. Let's do the outfielders and the starting pitchers here. Okay, so I just think this is sort of a group of outfielders that I haven't spoken all that much about. Like, after the Desmond, Cespedes, Yelich, McCutchen, Polanco group, we kind of look at those guys as a lot of them have high upside. They're very good players. They could easily be your number two outfielder, if not
the first
number
two
one.
Outfielders in this group we might have talked about more than anybody in the league so far.
Billy Hamilton and Kyle Schwarber?
Yeah.
Well, Schwarber we definitely have spoken about. I'm going to just go ahead and fast forward to another section of the notes real quick here. What if Kyle Schwarber, because I play in a league where Schwarber is catcher eligible, I really feel like he'd be my number one catcher. How about you guys?
I think he would be right in that mix. That's about where I have him. You know, he's my number 99 player overall in my rankings, but you know, with catcher eligibility, I could see him moving up.
He would definitely be in the Posey LaCroix tier for me.
I'll just tell you this. Based on what Schwarber did in 2015, he scored 212.5 fantasy points in 69 games. We expect him to more or less double the games. That would be 138. And that would be 425 fantasy points, which is a lot for a catcher. It would have placed him number two behind Posey in both 2015 and 2016. But, of course, I think, you know, he could have a better year. And more at-bats, obviously, leading off. All right, so anyway, if we've talked about Hamilton and Schwarber, and I don't think we've talked about Hamilton that much, so I do want to talk about him a little bit. Billy Hamilton, do you expect him to be anything more than just a steals guy?
I think there's a chance.
You're hoping for that, but you can't expect it. Like, he is one of the worst hitters in baseball.
But last year, he creeped up to average in at least the non-power facets of the game.
In the second half, he did.
No, I think overall, his walk rate was about average. His strikeout rate was actually slightly above average. Now, he needed a 329 BABIP to hit 260, but 260 is pretty close to average in today's major leagues. And a 321 on-base percentage is pretty good. If he can just be a 321 on-base guy this season, batting leadoff, I think he could be a very, very valuable fantasy player.
Yeah, for Hamilton, I mean, the final season numbers, I think they're really propped up by his last 43 games, which were outstanding. 43 games, he hit 295, did not homer, and only drove in 5 runs. So he will kill you in home runs and RBIs. But in 43 games, he scored 30 runs. 35 steals in 39 attempts. This is crazy. 20 walks, 37 strikeouts. So he was 295, 371 on base. I love when guys have a higher on base percentage than slugging percentage. 295, 371, 337 was Hamilton's slash line. And we're just hoping he can do something similar to that and keep it going into 2017.
And I would just take his August, where he hit 270.
Okay, yeah, I'd take that too.
He is off to an ice cold start this spring.
It's good. He's seven all his hits for when it matters.
He stole two bases yesterday, his first two of the spring. All right, that's Billy Hamilton. So 22 is Schwarber in outfielder ADP, average draft position. 23 is Trumbo. 24 is Justin Upton. 25 is Jose Bautista, who is creeping up a little bit. And 26 is Chris Davis. Let's go look at those four. 23, Trumbo. 24, Justin Upton. 25, Bautista. 26, Chris Davis. Give me your thoughts on that group.
I am very interested in owning Trumbo and Bautista at this ADP. Not so much for the other two. And we've talked a lot about Mark Trumbo, I think, and how many home runs we should expect him to hit this year. He's going to regress a little bit. I'm not sure he will regress a lot. And then Jose Bautista, kind of the same thing. I'm not sure he regresses positively all the way back to where he was, but I think there will be some.
Heath, you and I are the second and third highest experts on Jose Bautista.
Did you put air quotes around experts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Always. And yeah, I think Jose Bautista is just a steal at 88. I think the rest of them are fine where they're being taken. Upton's a little ahead of my overall ranking, but you know, I think that's okay. He's probably a little better in Roto, where the strikeouts don't hurt you so much. And look, we know what Justin Upton can do when he gets hot.
Yeah, I mean, look, last 37 games of the season, Upton batted .303 with 18 home runs, a .765 slugging percentage in his last 37 games. But he was dreadful before that. I mean, I picked him up off waivers in a league last year and was able to get his good production. But I just feel like Upton's getting a little worse every year, and he's not really a base stealer anymore. He stole 9 bases in 153 games. So I haven't drafted Justin Upton at all.
But
I'd rather wait.
I will say, if you're looking for someone who could be this year's version of Mark Trumbo, Justin Upton might be that guy. Like, that guy that just has a huge, like, 40-homer season.
Really?
He has the combination of hitting the crap out of the ball and hitting the ball in the air a ton.
All right, that's interesting. And last year was his first year with the hefty contract, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
I know you guys probably don't buy into that. I do a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying that was the case, but I could see him feeling the weight of the contracts, struggling, pressing, all that stuff. I could
on
see it.
On that team, though?
It's made out of paper.
On that team, his contract's not really all that weighty.
Still, it's a big deal. You come over as a free agent, you get a ton of money, and I don't know. Sometimes guys feel that pressure. It's all speculation. I have no idea if that happened with him. Bautista, to me, like, even if I need steals, I can't imagine I'm taking Billy Hamilton over Jose Bautista. He is the prize of this group. Agree? Disagree?
I have Billy Hamilton just ahead of Jose Bautista in points.
In points?
I mean, Roto. So I have him 90 spots lower in points than I do in head-to-head, or Roto.
Okay, next group in this tier, the last five. Chris Davis with a K, Matt Kemp, Adam Jones, Jackie Bradley. I'm going to skip Wilson Contreras. And I think I'm going to skip David Dahl.
He's sliding.
Yeah, let's do Chris Davis, Matt Kemp, Adam Jones, Jackie Bradley, Jose Ramirez. What do you
think? I think all those guys are fine. I think Adam Jones is probably being underdrafted at 92, which is kind of strange after, like, I feel like it's a little bit of an overreaction to a couple of bad batting average seasons, but I think he has still room to hit like .280 is more what I would expect than the .260.
Yep.
And you know, hits in a great lineup, hits in a great park. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah,
he's a fine value there.
He was the number 26 outfielder, Adam Jones, in both points and Roto last year, which is right around where he's going. I just, you know, I had seen him going as like the number 17, number 18 outfielder in some of our drafts, and I thought that was a little early for Adam Jones, but
I've got him 20th, so I don't totally agree with you, but I just, he is really, really consistent. And yeah, except for the batting average. Like, you look at his home run totals, he's been between 27 and 33 for each of the last 5 years.
He is very predictable, very consistent, but like I said, the problem is he doesn't steal any bases anymore, and his batting average has been low the last 2 years.
But his strikeout rate hasn't gotten any worse.
His strikeout rate's actually been better than when his batting average... He should strike out more so his batting average will go back
up. And you would think that maybe that's him kind of trying to to cheat a little bit, but the power hasn't really been affected by it, so I don't know. I'm not that worried about
it. His hard contact rate was within 0.4% of what it was in 2014. I think Jones is the best value of this group.
Have you been drafting?
I have him right behind Jose Bautista.
Have you been drafting Chris Davis at all?
I have not.
Not really, but I don't mind him.
He was the number 11 outfielder in Roto, number 18 in points last year. You know, and 42 home runs, just not really getting the draft day respect that a 42 homer guy would get, which you know, I haven't been drafting him either. I haven't been drafting this group that much because usually I take two in the top 20 at outfield. I kind of skip this group and then I'll wait. Yeah. But, you know, we also haven't talked about Matt Kemp. Matt Kemp is a guy that I see going really late, and I actually think he was 15th in points, 10th in Roto last year. I think Kemp has a chance to be the best of the group of 10. Like, I don't know, at least top three.
I mean, he is definitely one of those guys that, like, we grumble about and gnash our teeth, and then at the end of the season, he kind of always has 100 RBI and 25-plus homers. I don't buy this, like, he was rejuvenated in Atlanta thing. He's a streaky hitter who I think happened to get streaky for the third of a season he played in Atlanta. But I think he's probably going to hit right out between 260. He's very Adam Jones's, actually.
I want to go back to Chris Davis for just a second.
Okay.
Because I maybe did him a disservice when I wrote my Can Mark Trumbo Do It Again piece. I think I should write a Can Chris Davis Do It Again piece.
Yeah.
You don't think he can?
No, I'm not. I'm a little confused by my first glance at his peripheral numbers.
I very much buy Chris Davis as one of the best power hitters in baseball. Now, his other limitations are glaring.
What would you expect for Chris Davis for a home run to fly ball rate?
Well, he's been above 25% or right at 25% three of his four seasons in the majors. He crushes the ball.
So you're buying it 25% this year?
I would probably go a little under, but when you've done that three out of your four seasons, including the 1 year you spent in Oakland, it's not like he doesn't hit the ball hard. He hits the ball exceptionally hard. He's one of the leaders in hard hit percentage. I buy him as one of the handful of best power hitters in baseball.
Chris Davis might be moving up my Roto rankings.
You know what, though? I just kind of thought about this. Looking at this group of outfielders, 21 to 30, mm-hmm. You've got some guys in here between Trumbo, Bautista, Upton, Kemp, who hit 35 home runs last year, I think, and Chris Davis. So I think I just named five guys. You got five guys with, let's say, 35 homer potential.
Yeah.
After that, not just at outfield, but after that in the draft, there aren't that many guys. Like, I see Miguel Sano there, Michael Franz. Like, there are probably some third basemen, maybe first baseman. But outfielders, there aren't that many guys who have that kind of potential. So this is an area that I've been avoiding outfielders, but now that I'm thinking about it, if I'm light on power, this might be an area where I need to jump in and grab an outfielder and get a guy who can hit me at 35, even 40 home runs.
Yeah, if I'm looking for 30 or 35 home run outfielders after that point, I see Yasmani Tomas. I think Randall Grichuk definitely has that type of potential. And it gets pretty thin after that.
Yeah. I have all these guys higher than the consensus as well. That's partially because I have most of my pitchers lower. But partially, I think they're being undervalued.
All right, well, let's talk about pitchers then. Let's look at 31 through 40 at starting pitcher. Number 30 on Fantasy Pros ADP is Felix Hernandez. So we'll go after that and look at Rich Hill, Michael Fulmer, Matt Harvey, Dallas Keuchel, Marcus Stroman. Rich Hill, Michael Fulmer, Matt Harvey, Dallas Keuchel, Marcus Stroman. These should be your number blank starting pitchers.
I shouldn't answer this, right?
Chris's number ones.
I have had Marcus Stroman as my number two or three quite often, but there's not really a hierarchy from that point on in my pitching staff.
I believe Rich Hill is the only one out of this group that I actually have ranked as a number three starter. Everybody else is below 36. I've got Harvey 38th, Stroman 39th, and Keuchel 42nd. The interesting part about this group is I feel like other than Hill, well, maybe Harvey too, like Roto might be the worst format. Stroman and Keuchel are going to benefit from the all those points you get from innings, I would expect.
Yeah.
And Fulmer.
We talked about Stroman and his strikeout rate and how it got better at the end of last season, and I pointed out that if you remove the two starts that Stroman had against the Astros, it was still 7.5 per nine, which is right around where he normally is. You know, it's interesting. These guys are in the 30s in the rankings, so that means they're low-end number. They're like number three starting pitchers. Some are high-end number fours. I want almost all of them as my number four, and that's why I'm just so different than you guys with the way I draft. I definitely want like two top 20 starting pitchers, unless Gerrit Cole is my second starting pitcher, which I'm usually fine with, but I wouldn't mind him being my third. I've just been more aggressive with starting pitchers. By the time I get, like, Dallas Keuchel I'd be okay with as my third, but if I have Rich Hill, if I have Michael Fulmer, if I have Stroman, if I have Harvey, I better have three pitchers that I like better than that.
Where I have a question with the group that you just gave, Stroman and Keuchel and Fulmer specifically.
Yeah.
Where do Aaron Sanchez and Tanner Roark compare to that group?
So it's so weird because, like, I don't know how to treat Sanchez. He's very good. His stuff is filthy. I really like watching him pitch. I'm so concerned about the innings jump, 95-ish more innings than he threw. And I just think there's, like, serious bust potential. So there's almost no scenario where I'm drafting Aaron Sanchez.
But where is Sanchez in the ADP is what I was asking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you cared about my opinion. No. Aaron Sanchez is 28th. He's ahead of them. He's going 109th overall. Those guys are going about 122nd to 130th overall.
And then the other one that I had, because I would rather have Keuchel and Stroman than Sanchez.
Did you say Fulmer?
Roark.
Oh, Roark. Roark is much further down, 168th overall. Oh, 146th overall, excuse me.
See, I think he's kind of the same in the same category as Keuchel and Stroman.
Can I, Adam, can I just point out one thing that I think that you do that's unfair to our good friend Marcus Stroman? American hero Marcus Stroman.
Please.
You take out his two best starts, and you say, well, his strikeout rate doesn't look great. You also do this with Vince Velasquez. You're picking on my guys, Adam.
No,
What if you take out his two worst starts in terms of strikeout rate from after the All-Star break, he's 9.7K per nine. If you take out his two best and two worst, he's 9.3.
Okay, well, that's interesting. But it just really stood out to me that he racked it up against the Astros.
How about we just use all of his starts?
Could use all the starts.
I mean, he's 7.3.
Sure.
I don't really care. I do care, but I think I like Stroman. I took him in the auction. I don't know. Like, I don't think he needs strikeouts to be worth.
No,
a pick
I think
there
his upside is peak Dallas Keuchel.
Yes, agreed.
And
Cy Young.
The thing is, he's also 25. He also was an elite strikeout pitcher in the minors, with great control and amazing home run prevention and all that. So what I like about his second half run is that it could have been him figuring things out. And he doesn't have to have a huge strikeout rate. If he can just be slightly above league average, if he can be a 23% strikeout rate guy, I think that's probably going to lead to a sub-3 ERA.
All right. That's Marcus Stroman. Let's look at the next group here. I lost my place. Kevin Gausman going 36th overall. I know, Chris, you like him. That it still just seems surprised. Not like it's so early. It kind of took me by surprise. Gausman, Lackey, Roark, Steven Matz, James Paxton. I'm not loving these values for some of these guys.
I like three of those five guys a lot.
You know my approach to pitching, and so I am much more interested in drafting Matz and Paxton there than I am the other guys, but I think Roark is a value as compared to Stroman and Sanchez and Keuchel.
And Paxton is going much later than the four I mentioned before him. Gausman, Lackey, Roark, Matz, and then 15 picks later, it's Paxton followed. Might as well just throw these two guys in there. Jameson Taillon and Lance McCullers. Paxton, Taillon, McCullers. Like, I'd rather wait the 15 to 20 picks and go for those guys than Lackey. Or
yeah, I mean, the 42 through about 60 is really where I live at starting pitcher. I think Heath and I both agree that Lance McCullers is the best option out of that group. I think he's a fascinating pitcher. I wrote about him yesterday. His the way he pitches, it's all fastballs up and in to right-handed batters and curveballs down and away. And given how good his curveball is, it's just devastating for opposing hitters.
What about Tyone, guys? He's sort of the anti-Lance McCullers. He's got great control, not going to be a huge strikeout guy, but a much better whip, you'd think. And I liked what he did last year. We haven't spoken much about Jameson Tyone. What do you think about him?
Well, the first thing I want to say about him is that yesterday on Twitter, at the real Mike Life sent me a great team name Tuesday suggestion. Oh. You better call Tyone.
That's good.
So
well, I don't get it. Oh, I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it.
Okay. The second thing is I'm not as excited about him as I am the other young upside pitchers that we've talked about. I just feel like his floor is a little bit lower.
Okay. So who were your favorites in that group?
I don't know if we've acknowledged just how impressive what Jameson Tyone did last year was. He did not pitch for two full seasons. He did not throw a single pitch in the minors in 2014 or 15. He went to AAA. Struck out a batter per inning with a 2.04 ERA, then got called up to the majors and basically held his own as roughly a league average or slightly better starting pitcher.
You should hate Jameson Tyone, Adam.
Why?
He had a 165 inning jump last year.
Did he really?
But he didn't throw an inning.
He hadn't thrown since 2013, and he threw 165 innings last year.
He had thrown
142 in 2012, and 147 in 2013, or 149 in 2013.
It's not just the year before, it's have you ever done it before?
Oh, it's 3 years ago.
All right, yeah, but still, look, he's done
it. That's the thing with I think the year before thing is less relevant than whether you've proven you can do it now. That being said, he does have Tommy John on his resume. I think the other year it was like an abdominal muscle or something. So I think it's only one major arm injury.
All right. I'm sorry, Heath. So going back to that group, who were the ones that you liked out of the Gossman, Lackey, Roark, Mats, Paxton?
Mats and Paxton are easily my two favorites. Roark would be third. I have not fallen in love with Kevin Gossman like Chris has, and I think that's largely because the only thing I can really expect is that Kevin Gossman is going to pitch like Kevin Gossman did last year, and Chris has coming up with the elixir for turning Kevin Gossman into an ace, and sees that hope that maybe he uses the magic elixir.
It's not a magical elixir. There's no need to be flippant. There's no need to be dismissive.
I wasn't dismissive at all.
It's more that in the second half of last season, he started pitching the way I think he should pitch. He started using his splitter more. It's his best pitch. It's one of the best pitches in terms of swing and miss rate in all of baseball. This pitch is devastating. And that was the story on him coming up as a prospect. He started throwing it more in the 25% range. I'd like to see him throw it in the 30% range, but you know, nobody listens to me, so that's fine. But his strikeout rate.
Have you tried emailing him?
His strikeout rate jumped to 23.8% in the second half, and he was even better in August and September. So I just think there is more room for him to grow.
All righty. I have a fun little – we're going to finish with emails here, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. I have a fun little challenge that I did. I want to know what you guys think, right? So it's like an office pool that my friend's cousin is doing, whatever, so he asked me to help him out. It is $25 entry. I don't know what that doesn't really matter, but you have to pick five players and your five players have to hit the most home runs. So you have to basically, everybody picks five players. Whoever has the group of five that hits the most home runs wins. Make sense?
So you are pursuing home runs.
Yeah, only home runs. It's all
maybe,
you care about.
Maybe even chasing dogs.
You are chasing dogs, no
this
doubt.
This could be a dong chasers contest.
Yes.
I've heard of this before.
There is one rule, though.
I have a whole system, if you want it.
Hold on. There's one rule. The five that you choose have to have combined for 130 or fewer home runs last year. So that is an average of 26 per person.
Okay.
So
you're starting with Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, God. I didn't even think about Kyle Schwarber. I thought about Hunter Renfro, who only had four. I think
Schwarber would be a better pick than Renfro.
Jeez. But all right. But does he make the list? Like, because I went with Trout, Harper, Stanton, Trevor Story, and Bautista. I think it's pretty strong.
Yeah.
But I could put like Schwarber. I wouldn't mind taking Harper and Stanton out just because we know, you know, they might get hurt. And maybe I go Schwarber and like Arenado or something. Oh, wow. Schwarber. Nice. But it got me thinking.
Arenado has nowhere probably to go but down.
But he's still going to hit at least 35.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he did.
Also, Travis Shaw would be a great contrarian play.
No.
It's Eric Thames.
Yeah, I don't think you have to go that. Like, I don't think you have to do that. but it got me thinking.
Zero home runs last year.
How many home runs do you think Hunter Renfro hits this year?
That's I would put impossible. It about 25.
He could hit anywhere between 4 and 35.
Yeah.
Could hit zero or infinite.
Fun game. No. But I think Trevor Story was a must for me. Like he was one of the last ones I thought about, but he hit 25 home runs, I think. He was on pace for
27, I think.
27. Yeah. No.
What are we putting Trevor Story's over under at for home runs this year?
Yeah, I think I would put the over under at about 35. And I like Trevor Story. I think assuming he keeps that pace up for a full season is a little presumptuous.
Yeah, no, but if he hits 35, he might lead shortstops and home runs. Top three.
Yeah, I think I would say 29 and a half.
All right, story dongs, 29 and a half, 20, 35, whatever it is.
Adam from dong stories.
Adam from Cali has an email. Can you talk about Edwin Encarnacion and Jock Peterson? You never talk about them.
Talk about Jock Peterson a lot.
All the time we talk about Jock Peterson.
Jock Peterson's the best. Yeah. Doesn't wear batting gloves. Play center field. Great player.
Do you like Jock Peterson?
I think he wanted you to actually talk about Jock Peterson.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Jock Peterson. Young, top prospect, great pedigree. Considered one of the 5 or 10 best prospects in baseball before he got the call. Had that disappointing second half to his rookie season. But honestly, other than that, he's been a mid-800s OPS guy in his two major league seasons. Improved pretty dramatically in his second season. I look at him and I think he could be... Tell me if this is a ridiculous comp, but I think he could be Adam Dunn with stolen bases at his ceiling.
Yeah, I think he could be too. As far as Edwin Encarnacion goes, I think it will depend... Does the guy with the white towel travel with him to Cleveland, or is he going to stay in Toronto? So that will be a big part.
The sodium levels are high.
Encarnacion, I would expect to take a small step back in terms of power numbers. He's also getting to the age where you have a little concern that he just would anyway.
He's 34, 35.
I am looking right now, and he is 34, just turned 34 in January.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, and Edwin Encarnacion is going to be a bad major league player at some point. It just, whether it happens in the next year, whether it happens in the next 3 years, I think is the question. I would bet against it happening this year, but, you know, there's a chance.
Let's give him a 260 average with 35 home runs. 85 runs,
ton of RBI,
95 RBI.
That could be the best lineup in baseball.
Do you take Edwin Encarnacion or your number two starting pitcher, whether that's Bumgarner or Scherzer?
I do not believe I've drafted Edwin Encarnacion in any drafts this year.
I think I have.
I'm fine with it. Yeah, in the second round, and I took him in the second round in a league, and I share a team with Jamie Eisenberg, a football guy, and I told him I took Encarnacion. It was a mock draft. And he's like, you took Encarnacion in the second round, so maybe general public thinks that's a reach. I don't. Second round of 12 team.
I think that's perfectly fine.
I'm not sure. Like, I would definitely bet on Encarnacion being better, but I'm not sure there is going to be a major discernible difference between Encarnacion and Chris Davis this year.
Well, no. Chris Davis is one of the biggest boomer bust players in fantasy.
Right. That's Chris Davis is much less reliable. So, yeah, there's a 40% chance he's as good or better than Edwin Encarnacion, and a probably 60% chance that he's a lot worse.
Next email is from Mike in Baltimore. Not my real name, but I think my league mates may listen. Probably will still figure out it's me based on my specific question. Oh, well. Dear Smalls, Squints, and Yeah Yeah.
Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, okay, good. I was about to get very upset with you.
I didn't think we had to. I thought that one was obvious.
It probably was, yeah. Sherry! Sorry. 10-team
in that movie.
10-team head-to-head auction keeper categories league. Josh Donaldson at 37 or Kyle Seager at 20?
I would guess Donaldson is a better value relative to my... Yeah.
Yep, Donaldson.
This is from Aaron. Dear Man-at-Arms, Orko, and Tila.
That's got to be G.I. Joe.
These are He-Man's
He-Man! Damn it!
Yeah, I never...
I screwed that up. I had all of those, too.
Oh, man, I loved He-Man. There's been little talk about Garrett Richards. Isn't Garrett Richards the kind of high-variance player we want over Matt Moore, Jake Odorizzi, or Aaron Nola? And he's going 3 to 5 rounds later.
I think Garrett Richards can be a high-variance starting pitcher. I don't think there's enough risk priced into him right now, and that's with him going in the 217 overall range.
I'm not going to answer. I'm banning myself for my terrible performance.
Like, the problem with Garrett Richards is he's not really a high-variance pitcher. Like, he could be really good, but it's almost impossible. It's going to be almost impossible for him to get to even 180 innings. So the range of possible outcomes on the high end isn't that high compared to like Nola, who showed the really impressive strikeout rate, even if I don't personally buy it.
I would definitely take Richards over Odorizzi because Odorizzi is just so blah. But the other thing with Richards is that, you know, his manager seemed to indicate he doesn't want him to throw more than 100 pitches in a game. I'm going to say right now, I don't buy it. Like, if that's the case, why didn't you just give him Tommy John surgery? You cannot, like, this is ridiculous to say, all right, you're capped at 100 pitches, what, for the rest of your career, just for this year? Like, what is it? That seems like really stupid to me. So I don't buy it at all. I don't think they're going to throw him out there for an inning. He starts an inning at 90 pitches. He gets to 100 pitches with two outs and nobody on, and they take him out. Like, I just, maybe he won't be a 110 pitch pitcher, but just my guess, I think it's hogwash. I don't buy it.
I don't think he makes it through the season.
All right. This is from B-Rai. I listen to your podcast every day. It makes the afternoon bearable. So thanks. Oh, thanks, B-Rai. I'm drafting this Sunday based on how people draft. Do you think it's ridiculous or unwise to draft hitters with my first four picks and they make three of my next four after that pitchers? I know I won't have an ace, but in a head-to-head categories league, I don't think it's as vital. So first four picks, hitters, and then three pitchers with his next four picks. What do you think?
B-Rai, I think you're taking too many pitchers early.
Nah, I don't think it's bad at all, because I feel like if I miss an ace, I definitely want to be a little more aggressive in rounds like, 5 through 10 with starting pitchers and get a few guys who have ace potential.
The best part is you can do that and not take a pitcher with your first six picks and then get an ace in Danny Salazar.
Maybe he was ace like last year, but I think it's the efficiency in the innings that would hold him back, right?
I think if you end up with Carlos Martinez or Chris Archer as your ace, I think you're in a very good position.
Certainly could be the case. Petey from a small town in Delaware. Can you talk a little bit about Eduardo Nunez? Can he do it again, or did Nunez play over his head?
He is someone that's the question. I don't think any of us have him ranked as if he's going to do that again, but I feel like I probably have him ranked a little higher than, I don't know, Heath, where do you have him?
He in Roto is, I believe, a top. He's definitely a top 12 shortstop for me in Roto. He's pretty close to a top 12 third baseman as well, I believe.
Well, would you guys rather have Jose Peraza or Eduardo Nunez?
I'm gonna take Nunez.
Yeah, he's done it before. Has a little more power potential too.
Ah, that park though is so bad. I feel, although he hit home runs in Minnesota.
Right, and it's worse for left-handed power hitters than right-handed power hitters, right?
Yes. All right.
That's what I thought.
Heath and Scott are the only two of just 26% of experts on Fantasy Pros who have him ranked higher than his current ADP of 133.
Experts in quotes.
Yeah, it goes without saying.
That's it for today's show, guys. Thank you very much. Good luck in the bracket challenge. I want to thank all of you for listening. I am out tomorrow. Heath is hosting. Celebrate.
Oh, Heath is hosting.
It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, it's going to be the best podcast we've ever had.
Heath is hosting. Chris is not going to be on.
No, Chris. Just me.
Just Heath.
Scott won't be here.
Scott, no. Yeah.
It's just an hour about dongs.
Me and Heath just looking into each other's eyes.
We're not starting bus tomorrow, though. We're starting those on Monday.
We're starting those on Monday. Tomorrow is bus week. Now, next week is bust week. So if you guys want to email with your busts, please feel free.
Send us your busts.
But if you guys want to talk about any sleepers or breakouts tomorrow, you can also do that. But you can figure that out on your own. Goodbye, everybody. Have a great weekend. And I'll talk to you on Tuesday. Heath and Chris and Scott will talk to you tomorrow.